As we go through life, you're going to find out that this is very, very important. A lot of times we think about purity, we think about different things like that. We think about prayer and Bible study and such like that. And those are very, very pertinent to your life. But being thankful is going to get you through the things that come through your way. You know, one of the things that we find out is that as we go through life, we can make things fun or not fun. You know, you just go, for instance, we just got back from a youth camp, and sometimes the kids, you say something, and they're all excited, and the others won't be so excited. Now, you're going to do the same activity, but someone is excited and someone isn't. And one of the things that we find out is that God wants us to be thankful at all times. Remember, he tells us to pray and to be thankful. And so you're going to have to look at every situation and find something to be thankful about. And I want to remind you that when you get up in the morning, and I get a lot of headaches, and so I get up in the morning and I just try to thank God for whatever I can, and I think, well, at least today it doesn't hurt as bad as yesterday. You know, so you just kind of get a good attitude. That way you're not all grumbly and stuff like that. But we're going to hit three verses, and then we're going to go into my message. But we're going to have these here read, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. We have Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And as we read this here, we're going to find out what he says about being thankful. It says, verse 15, Colossians 3:15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Be thankful. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 in verse 2, and it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, and then we'll go right into the sermon or the lesson. Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 28 and 29. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." Now, you notice there in Colossians, it says, be thankful, let the peace of God, of Christ. And then it says, be thankful. Then in Colossians 4, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And then in Hebrews, it says that we are to be thankful. Why? Because we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I believe a lot of times we are not thankful Christians is because we are not looking to that kingdom that will not be shaken. We've got our head just right in the present. We're just looking at right here. And it's very interesting because I brought this illustration several years ago. Is we kind of have the windshield effect. You ever notice you're going down the road and you got your windshield all clean and stuff like that. And you're driving down the road and you're enjoying all the beauty of what God has made. And here comes a grasshopper. He's just, you know, flying around and blap, right on your windshield. And now you got this, you know, he's right on your windshield. And then all of a sudden he gets some other buddies, the mosquitoes and lightning bugs and all this, and all of a sudden your whole windshield is covered with that. Well, can you enjoy the great beauty out there? You can't, because that windshield is filthy. All right? And that's what happens with us in Christianity, is that we can't focus on anything else because we're not thinking about anything else. We're focused on that windshield. And you think about this, how that windshield, what can you do? All you have to do is stop and go out there and clean it. Now, you ever smelled those bugs? They smell pretty bad, don't they? And it's kind of tough, isn't it? And sometimes we get clogged up with all this bad stuff, all this negativism, and we think about all these things, and we cannot enjoy what we're going to enjoy in heaven, and we can't be thankful because we're too busy smelling and looking at those bugs. And you know what? I hope that this will help you out, because when you get up in the morning, you got to clean your windshield. Clean that windshield. Make sure that you got that eye sleep, you know, whatever that stuff you call out of your eyes. Get all that stuff so you can have a clear mind so that you can look up and say, God, thank you for letting me live. Thank you for letting me live in the United States of America. Thank you for, there's so much opportunity here in America, and yet we don't take it. We're too busy with recreation and all those other things, but we forget to stop and just say, thank you, Lord. You know, I think about this beautiful building here. We get to meet here, away from the world. We don't have to listen to all that booming of the car next to us with that, you know, real loud music that you can feel as you're driving down the road. And you roll up your window, you can still feel it and hear it. We don't have to hear that. We're not influenced by the immodesty that's going walking by us. We're not, you know, with the negatives. We don't have to look at our newspaper and say, oh, look at another bad thing happened. We can just be focused on God. Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
You might say, well, you know, I don't know. It costs this much and this. It costs very little. You go to just a hotel and it costs a lot of money. And here you get fed the Word of God. And hopefully you guys are just like the little babies. You ever see the little babies? You're getting ready to put that bottle on there. And they're just, you know, just all excited. And you know, you could even put it right here by their cheek. And they'd go over here. And you could have a little fun with it. And they're all excited. And you put it in their mouth. And they just get this. They make these noises. Mmm, good. You know what? They're thankful. And I wonder if you're like that, or you're saying, oh, you know, I can't hardly breathe up here because after all this, the wind is so, oh, I just can't do this and I can't do that. And we're just, you know, all this negative stuff. You know, we need to praise God.
Amen.
It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to hear messages that step on your toes. Yeah, what was a Sunday, that one of the guys came up to me and we've been working with him and trying to get him converted. And he just came straight up right after the sermon. And he says, Paul, thanks for stepping on my toes. It really hurt, but I needed it. And he was all excited. I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. Instead of the old stare down thing. Yeah. You know, there's two ways of accepting the Word of God. It's being thankful and being resentful or anything else. And I think about how we can go through life being thankful people. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll notice here what Apostle Paul says. And this is a big warning here because it is easy to get hit by the grumble bug. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10. And it reads as follows here. It says there, and do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. You notice it says, this is an example. Don't grumble, because what? The destroying angel came and destroyed those people. And I think about this, how you can get a car full of people and you can be going to something excited and one guy can change the whole atmosphere of that car. It's easier for that one person to make it negative than one person to change it to positive. And God warned us about that. So we say, well, you know, for instance, you know, we only have 35 minutes to study the Word of God, and but we should eat it up. You know, sometimes you say, well, you know, that's too short. No, there's all kinds of wealth, and everyone's going to be sharing the Word of God. That's exciting. That really is. And Brother Jim was talking about those 15-minute sermons. You know, that's a shame.
Yeah.
That is. That's like putting the food on the baby's lip. You know, and trying to figure out, it can smell it, it could, you know, it could barely taste it, but there's nothing there, just a little bit right there. And that's not good. You need something solid, something goes down there and works around and makes you work. That's what you need. So be thankful. Don't allow yourself to grumble. I don't care about whether it's too cold or too hot. You know, in church, you could set it at supposedly the perfect temperature, and there's always somebody either going like this, or, you know, and you think, you know, why, if you're the one that's going like this, bring something that will make you warm. If you're someone that's going like this, bring a good fan or something. But don't complain, because you see them, isn't it hot? And then, you know, it's almost like they have to pass. And, you know, I just thank God that I haven't seen any text messaging in the church there in Hastings. I mean, they do it, but not during church. And you need to ask them to turn in their cell phones before they come in. But, you know, you think about this, how the people can complain about anything. And we can complain about anything. And it's sad because I believe that... maybe the root of all evil is complaining. You just think about that. Because a person could be living their life, you know, they could be pure-minded, they could read the Bible, they could sing, but once they get that grumbling part and then they start complaining and they're not thankful, you better watch out. Because it's going to cause problems. It's going to spread. And it's very easy. So don't let the devil come by. So why should we be thankful? Well, because unthankfulness will get you into trouble. Number one, it'll get you in trouble with God. And that should be the one that stops us from being unthankful. But another thing is it will make other people angry. One time we went to this birthday party and we went over there and we purchased this and we just gave some gifts and they opened it up and they're like, is that all? What do you think I felt like? Can you give it back so I can return it and I can put it in my pocket? You know, you don't feel good about it. And you imagine what God has done to us. He's given us gifts upon gifts. Every day, when you wake up in the morning, He gave you the gift of life. When you look over there at your wife, He gave you that wife. He gave you those children. And you go over there and you say, is that all? That's insulting to God, isn't it? That really is. Can you imagine what he feels? Because it made me angry. You know, it made me angry. Well, you don't like what I gave you? Now, I had to get myself under control. You know, the Holy Spirit moved me. But, you know, they need to get themselves where they're grateful for the things that they receive. And we have to understand that when people put their effort, in fact, I thank those that have put this together. It takes a lot. It does. It takes a lot to put this, it takes a lot to, all the way from cleaning to the cooking and all that stuff, it takes a lot. And I just thank everyone that has a part in that. Because, you know, we always just come in here and we just enjoy ourselves. But we don't see everything else. You're just like the parent. They go out there and they work hard and everything. And the children don't really realize what they're getting. And that's the same way it is with us. We need to be thankful. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we'll see here the story of David. David was being chased all over the place, poor guy. And King Saul was chasing him and he was hateful to him and tried to kill him. And so he was on the run at this time. And 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning in verse 4, says, while David was in the desert, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So this rich man, he had many sheep. He was very wealthy. And so it says there that he was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time, and when your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. The whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you, therefore, be favorable toward my young men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. So David is asking them, okay, you got to remember he's on the run. He needs some food. He needs, and this is a most opportune time. Here Nabal could supply him with that. He had been protecting Nabal's sheep. Actually, all the shepherds and stuff. And so David was just asking, would you please just give us something to eat? Verse 10 says, verse 9 says, when David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Verse 10 says, Nabal answered David's servants, who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Isn't that insulting?
Yeah.
He's telling them that he's the lowest of lowest. He has escaped. He is nobody. Now, you want to know something about someone that is ungrateful and unthankful. We find out that they are not observant either. They don't observe all the good things that have been done to them or given to them. And Nabal should have known that David was out there guarding the sheep. He should have known all these great things that David was doing for Nabal. But he says, who is David? And you know what? That's what happens to us sometimes. We don't say, who are you, Lord, or anything like that. We just forget to thank him for the good meal that we've just eaten. Wasn't it a good breakfast this morning? I thought it was. It really was. And, you know, Deuteronomy tells us we thank him after we eat. You know, sometimes we thank him before, and then we push that food and we try to hide it so nobody knows that we didn't eat it. But maybe we should pray and thank him after we've eaten. But, you know, we need to thank. That's just a small part of what God has given us. What about the sleep you had last night? Wasn't that pretty good? I thought it was pretty good. Last week I was in 95 degree weather in a camp that I would go to sleep and my pillow would get just soaking wet. Here it was nice. God, you know, I didn't have to smell the cow manure, you know, and things like that that comes with the camp. And you know, here it's nice fresh pine and all this. And I just think, wow, what a blessing. It's a blessing. So we need to look and be observant. So let's continue on. So here Nabal's being kind of sarcastic. And that's one of the things of a person that's ungrateful. They're kind of sarcastic. They're just kind of, who are you, and this and that. And we might not say that to God, or we might say that to someone else, but we're feeling it. So verse 11, why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men coming from who knows where? It was obvious where David was. David had many, many men. It wasn't like he looked out there and there was nobody out there, just David. It was many men out there. So he knew about David and his men. But you notice it was, why should I take my bread, my water, my meat, my tithe? God says, what? Give the tithes and the offering. That's my money. I've earned that. God gave you the ability to earn that money. He gave you that job. He gave you, maybe you even inherited it. It's not yours. But what happens? A person that's not thankful, it's me, mine, I. Everything's about me. Well, Nabal was a wicked man. Verse 12, David's men turned around and went back. Can you imagine? Because they knew about David. They knew their leader. And here they're coming back with a message. And it says, when they arrived, they reported every word. What did David say? David said to his men, put on your swords. So they put on their swords. And David put on his. About 400 men went up with David, with 200 stay with the supplies. 600 men there were, and 400 were coming, and they were all, they had sharp swords, and they were ready to take on Nabal. And Nabal, what was Nabal doing? He was drunk. Me, my, mine. Verse 14 says, one of the servants told Nabal's wife, Abigail. And I like this because, you know, sometimes we don't give credit to where it's due, and sometimes our woman, our wife, our beauty, our mate that God has given us takes care of us. Mm-hmm. And here, Abigail says, David sent messengers from the desert to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us. And the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Now, do you think that they would have offered Nabal the same information? They would have. They would have told, in fact, they probably told Nabal exactly this. But one person was receptive. Abigail listened. Wow, I didn't realize that. And when you hear sermons about your sin, and you hear about that, that God can forgive you those sins, and you are exposed, you say, wow, thank you, Lord, for being concerned. Instead of saying, boy, I hate that messenger. You know, I can pick all kinds of things out of his life, and, you know, he's not perfect. And no, you should be thankful, grateful. Here Abigail says, wow, this is a lot. Verse 16, night and day there were all a wall around us. All the time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. Abigail lost no time. You know, I think about this and I wonder about us. When we know there's something good, let's not waste any time and let's give God thanks. You know, Abigail went ahead and gathered up all these great things to give it to David. And it stopped him dead in his tracks. Here he was intent on killing Nabal and the whole place there. And he was intent on doing that. But Abigail, with this thank you very much for what you've done for us, gave it to him and he stopped in his tracks. You know, a thank you goes a long ways. A lot of times a preacher will preach and he'll preach his heart out. And he preaches and he preaches. And you don't realize how difficult it is to preach. Because you might say, oh, this guy has the gift of gab, so he just goes up there and blah, blah, blah. You know, but no, there's a lot to it. He thinks about the souls he's talking to. And he wants decisions made for God. And so he pours his heart out. And a lot of times he's torn and he's seen the fight between good and evil in the people's eyes. And when he's done, he's done. And you walk out there and you wait to shake the people's hands. And they'll say, did you know your tie was crooked? And they, wow, is that all you got? Ungrateful. You know, I think about this. The preacher is not looking for compliments, but a thank you would really help him out. You don't know what he's struggling with. Just like Brother Jim said, the valleys. Remember, he said, you guys are like us, like me. Everybody has their valleys and their mountains. And you might be able to say something that fires him up and he can bring another sermon. Or you can say something that will make him say, I resign. You know, I think about this and I think how that a grateful person makes the church go smooth. Mm-hmm. That's like the oil in your engine. It just makes it smooth. You don't really notice the oil, do you? I never noticed oil when I'm driving down the road. No. But it makes it run smooth, the engine. And that's what thankfulness is all about. Here Nabal could have died, and he did die, but not because of David. But we think about this, how Abigail took action. We need to take action and give God thanks and give people thanks for what they've done for you. Did you know unthankfulness, a person that forgets God, that is the reason why God is coming back. Did you know that? Remember, he says there that I have a lot of patience, and so that's why I'm not coming back, because I want everybody to come to repentance. Remember he says that? But also, in 2 Timothy, he says, I'm coming back because people don't appreciate what I've offered. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's amazing when you go to a football game, there's all kinds of people there. They want the front row seats, don't they? They want the front row seats.
Yeah.
At the church, everybody wants the back row seats, isn't it? Okay? All right? And then, you know, you just think, well, I wonder what's the problem there. You think about all that is offered. You think about the fellowship. You think about maybe the fellowship dinners. You think about, you know, the godly interaction between people. You get kind of a rest from all the dirty stories and stuff like that. And we should be really excited and thankful that it's all out there. But what happens is we go through life and things get maybe a little muddy and our windshield gets kind of dirty. But let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, and we see what it says, what happens toward the end of time. It says, but mark this, there'll be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Now, I want you to notice as we're reading this, it sounds like today. It really does. It says, lovers of money. Isn't that amazing? You know, you can get a credit card and then you can get another credit card. You can get $25,000 here, $25,000 there. You can end up owing who knows how much and then just declare bankruptcy and start all over again. It's, you just get. And that's the way our country is running. I don't know how we even are up as far as the finance in the United States, because everybody owes everybody. Well, who's paying then? I don't know who's paying. It doesn't make sense. But that's the lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. You think, oh, how terrible all these things are. But right in the middle of it says, ungrateful. Ungrateful. I hope this morning that you thank God for the things that he's given you. I'm not saying everything, because you can't remember everything, but I hope you just thank God that you had a breath of life. Because right in the middle of the unholy, the without love, the unforgiving, the slanderous, the lack of self-control, the brutal, the ones that didn't love good, the treacherous, the rash, the conceited, the lovers of pleasure, is ungratefulness. You know, I think about this, how the Bible says that toward the end there, have nothing to do with them. Wouldn't it be kind of wild? Oh, man, I got 1.5 minutes to go. Wouldn't it be kind of wild if someone started grumbling and you says, I'm sorry, the Bible says I can't have anything to do with you. Wouldn't it kind of shock the person? But maybe it will bring reality. In closing today, I want you to look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And it says there, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You can go to church, but if you don't give thanks, it says your what? Your thinking is going to become futile, and your hearts are going to be darkened. You read the rest of that, and it's scary. It talks about homosexuality, talks about all kinds of horrible things. And it's because a person wasn't thankful to God. It just leads up to that. God says, if you don't want to thank me, if you don't appreciate it, then go your way. You know what? I don't want to hear that. I want God to just bother me with the sermons, convict me with the sermons, and that way I can say, thank you, Lord, help me straighten this out, and help me not to be a grumbler. and be thankful.
Amen.
Let us stand.
Amen.
I'd like to ask Brother John Martin to dismiss us in prayer.